The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 15, verses 6 to 11. It is page 213 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that He accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as He did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for He purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. Amen. As of today, we are looking at the First Jerusalem Council for the sixth week. Paul and Barnabas visited the Jerusalem Mother Church in order to resolve a problem that had broken out at Antioch Church. They co-pastored. This led to the convening of the conference, which is called the First Jerusalem Council in the church history. The topic of the conference was whether it was right or not that the Gentile Christians should receive circumcision in accordance with the law as a condition for their salvation. Now, this was the first great conference that not only the apostles and elders, but all persons who were Christians and was interested in the topic could attend. Let us take a look at verse 7. After much discussion, it was said that after much discussion meant that a heated debate for many hours took place between those who argued for circumcision by Gentiles as a necessary condition to their salvation, and those who opposed such argument. Let's take a look at verse 7 again. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know. As can be seen, the First Jerusalem Council was a democratic meeting in which any participant could freely express his opinion without being restricted by anybody. After listening to the Jews who argued for circumcision tenaciously to the end, Peter finally got up and opened his lips as follows. Brothers, you know. The people whom Peter called the brothers, or you, are the people who attended the Jerusalem Council. In other words, the people who were present in front of him. As we know, it was a mixed group in which some who were for circumcision, others who were against, were sitting together. Now, Peter called them all as you and said that you know exactly what did they know. He meant that they, who shared the life of faith with Peter, already knew how God used Peter as an instrument and saved the party of Cornelius, the Gentiles of Caesarea, although they had not received circumcision. Let's take a look at verse 7 again. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel. Now, Peter clearly said this to the Christians of Jerusalem. Don't you know how God had chosen me among you in order to deliver the gospel to the party of Cornelius, the Gentile of Caesarea? Now, Peter is not here speaking of someone else, and he's not speaking about some group. Peter is now pointing to himself, his individual self, in saying that God chose me. Let's take a look at verses 8 to verse 10. God, who knows the heart, showed that He accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as He did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for He purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? In the same way that God had given Holy Spirit to us and personally testified that we became God's children, God also poured Holy Spirit in the party of Cornelius, who had not received circumcision, so that he clearly testified before my eyes that they became God's children. Did we become righteous people by performing circumcision? Weren't we still hideous sinners, the Jews, who are bound to die, even if we were to perform circumcision of the body 1,000, 10,000 of times? Didn't we receive forgiveness of sins and became cleansed not because we performed circumcision, but in believing Jesus Christ, who first became the offering on the cross for us, and His precious blood cleansed us? Although the party of Gentile Cornelius did not receive circumcision, didn't I clearly witness with my eyes that by receiving Jesus Christ, who was present to them as their Savior, God purified them as His children? In this way, God gave free gift of salvation to us, the Jews, and them, the Gentiles, without any discrimination. Then why do you dare to commit the sin of testing God by placing the yoke of the law that we, the Jews, could not bear with our abilities alone on Gentiles whom God saved as His children? The words of Peter had the foregoing meaning. The you whom Peter rebuked while he was speaking, was used to refer the very Jews among Jerusalem Christians in front of him who argued for the circumcision of the Gentiles as the essential condition to salvation. Now, the above is not a testimony about a collective experience of some group. It is about a personal experience of Peter, a story of a personal experience of what Peter experienced at Cornelius' house when he visited the house following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it is not the case that the people who heard the story of personal experience from Peter are giving a collective testimony together with Peter. The person who is standing up at the Jerusalem Council at that moment is only one person, Peter. And the person who is speaking is also only Peter. And if so, then Peter should have ended his conclusion as follows in verse 11. No, I believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are.
이방인인 그들이나 모두 오직 예수 그리스도의 은혜로만 구원받음을 나는 믿노라.
Whether Jews or Gentiles, I believe that the salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. And this is the way that he should have concluded, because the person who is speaking is not multiple persons, but only a single person, Peter. But Peter did not say that. Let's take a look at verse 11. No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. Although, clearly, the person who is speaking is a single person, Peter. Peter, instead of saying, I believe, using the first person subject, said, we believe, using the plural subject. What exactly would have been the reason for this? When Peter says, we believe, who did Peter mean to refer to in saying we, including Peter himself? Here, two interpretations are possible. First, it is possible to enlarge the meaning of the word we and interpret it as referring to all who participated in the Jerusalem Council, all who are now before Peter. As I've said before, a majority among them believe that the duty of circumcision must be required of the Gentiles as an essential precondition to salvation. Even so, it could be interpreted that Peter used the subject we in order to mean that it was absolutely necessary to believe that all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, will be saved only by the grace of Jesus Christ. Next, we could narrow the scope of the word we that Peter spoke of and interpret it as referring to the people who oppose circumcision of Gentiles. As I said already, most of the people who had gathered in front of Peter were those who insisted on circumcision of Gentiles. Therefore, it could be interpreted that Peter used the subject we to mean that although you argue for circumcision, we who oppose circumcision believe that salvation is received only by the grace of the Lord. Both interpretations are logical, but they are not interpretations that are grounded on today's text. Exactly who the we that Peter called referred to is precisely and concretely revealed by verse 12, which we'll be looking at in detail next week. Verse 12. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. As Peter confessed that we believe that whether Jews or Gentiles, salvation is received only by the grace of Jesus Christ, Paul and Barnabas stood up. And they testified about how God performed signs and wonders in saving Gentiles who did not even receive circumcision through them. The verse 12 of the text proves that the we that Peter spoke of referred to Paul and Barnabas in addition to Peter himself. What was common among Peter, Paul, and Barnabas was that they were persons who had already experienced being used by God to save Gentiles before the time of today's text. Peter was the instrument of God who would save the party of Cornelius, Gentiles, and Caesarea. Paul and Barnabas were used as God's instruments for numerous Gentiles at Pisidian, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, and Perga. If there was a difference, it was that until that time, Peter was used as God's instrument for Gentiles within the Israel's borders, while Paul and Barnabas were used as God's instruments for Gentiles, numerous Gentiles who were outside Israel's borders. If we go back 2,000 years at the time of the text, for Jews to deliver the gospel to Gentiles was not an easy task, as we might think today. When Peter had visited Cornelius' house following the leading of the Holy Spirit, the house was already filled with the Gentiles. The Acts chapter 10, verses 28 to 29 reveals the first words that Peter spoke to the Gentiles that day. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection." Jews were used to the concept of chosen race, treated all Gentiles other than themselves, all people other than themselves as animals, and they strictly forbade relationships with Gentiles, eating together with them, or visiting a house of a Gentile. This was so because if they did so, they believed that the uncleanliness of Gentiles would contaminate them. Accordingly, Gentiles like Cornelius' party, who lived within the border of Israel, knew of such wrongful custom. Peter, who was also a Jew, had the same thinking towards the Gentiles. But even so, the reason that he went to the house of Cornelius was because God had commanded him to do so. But from the perspective of the Jews, 2,000 years ago, it was something that required a great courage, that Peter, a Jew, would abandon the traditional Jewish custom, visit a Gentile's house, and consort with Gentile Cornelius, was to bring upon himself criticisms and disgrace from his people, the other Jews. This was to give up on the reputation that he had built up until that time. The Acts actually testifies about how Peter, in connection with visiting Cornelius, received criticisms from believers of Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 11, verse 2. If he had to receive criticisms from other Christian Jews because he had visited a Gentile's house, then how great the backlash must have been from Jews who didn't believe in Jesus. Therefore, Paul and Barnabas had to receive severe persecution from the Jews at each place they went at the time of their first mission trip solely for the reason that they delivered the gospel to Gentiles. In Lystra in particular, Paul was stoned so harshly by the Jews that people mistook him for dead.
바울,
In this way, from the perspective of the world, that Peter, Paul, and Barnabas being used as instruments for Gentiles was definitely not a noble thing or in keeping with their dignity. This was to throw oneself to the criticisms and stoning by their people. This was a life that could be elected only by someone who could throw away all for the sake of the Lord. This was a road that could be traveled by someone who was confident that the Lord is greater than all things in this world, and therefore Peter, in referring to Paul and Barnabas, who set out on that road like himself, called, referred to them as a we and confessed that we believe. If so, we can imagine today's text in our heads as follows. The First Jerusalem Council was convened. A lot of people come to attend. The arguments for circumcision and those who are against circumcision takes place for a long time. And it is not the case that those who oppose circumcision for the Gentiles have all offered themselves to the Lord for Gentiles in the way of Peter, Paul, and Barnabas. They were merely people who opposed circumcision as a result of achieving understanding by exercising their rational judgment. After listening to all of the claims of the people who stubbornly insisted on circumcision, Peter finally gets up, and he explains in detail about how God uses him to grant the grace of salvation for free to the party of Cornelius. And Peter concludes by saying that as God has granted salvation without discrimination to the Jews and Gentiles, that requiring a legal act from Gentiles as a precondition to their salvation is placing a yoke of death on the people of God whom God has saved. And Peter further concludes that we, meaning Paul and Barnabas himself, believe that whether Jews or Gentiles, the salvation comes only by the grace of Jesus Christ. As Peter makes this conclusion, where would he have directed his gaze? To the sky? Or to the people who were gathered in front of him? Definitely not. Let us imagine the scene of today's text. Peter stops speaking for a minute, and he looks around at the audience. And he turns his gaze to Paul and Barnabas so that all those who are present would know who the we that he was referring to. And fixing his gaze on Paul and Barnabas, he testifies that whether Jews or Christians, we believe that salvation comes only by grace of Jesus Christ. At that moment, the gaze of Paul, Peter, and Barnabas meet in a fierce way. In that meeting of the gaze,
자기 자신의 모든 것을 포기해 본 사람들끼리만 주고받고 이해할 수 있는
In the meeting of the gaze, there takes place a spiritual communion that can be shared only among people who had received criticisms and stoning for the sake of Gentiles, though who all wholly offer themselves before the Lord in belief that the Lord is greater than all things of this world. And Peter and Barnabas stands up and testify that what Peter says is all true. Based on their own experience. The mutual gaze of Peter, Paul, and Barnabas is filled with deep trust and warm collegiality. What work of art, of any artist, could be more beautiful, more moving than the image of today's text? Peter, Paul, and Barnabas, who was able to make such a beautiful scene with their lives, lived in obedience of God, was in truth the we that had become one. And they make us realize deeply the true meaning of a spiritual community. We, more than people of any other nation, abuse the word we. People frequently refer to their wife or their husband or their house as our wife, our husband, and our house. If one says our wife, our husband, or our house, it would refer to a common wife, a common husband, a common house for all those, including the speaker, who are in front of that speaker. But we use this word we wastefully, not caring about the logic of the use of this word. And it is not the case that this word is always used in the positive sense. Because that we speak of frequently is often based on blood ties, geographical ties, school ties, or shared interests. There are more times that it's used in the negative sense, as in, are we strangers? So long as a person comes within the boundary of a we, then breaking or circumventing the law is overlooked. Once a person comes into the boundary of a we, no matter what wrongs this person commits against a third party, this person is accepted. And this is not unrelated to the fact that the corruption scale for our country is shamefully high than other countries. In our country, they use the word we wastefully. If so, then what does we mean for us who believe in the Lord? Does it refer to a relationship in which we will mutually overlook each other, although we consort with falsity to gain benefit in the manner of the people of this world? If so, then no matter how often we attend church, no matter whether there are so many of us as in the stars in the sky, we cannot be the we that Peter spoke of in referring to Paul and Barnabas and himself. And neither our family nor our church can become a true faith community. Let us all become Peter of this age, who throw themselves for the sake of the Lord. Let us become Paul, who do not fear stoning, let alone criticism, for the sake of the Lord. Let us become Barnabas, who pursued the road the Lord traveled his whole life, knowing that the Lord is greater than all things of this world. It is then that we, who have formed a true faith community, will be able to experience deep spiritual communion without the need for any words to be spoken, just by exchanging gazes between ourselves. Further, it is then that our family, our church that we call, we will become a true faith community. And our lives that make up this true faith community will be etched as an image, as a moving and beautiful image. This is so because the Lord, who worked through Peter and Paul and Barnabas, who became the true we, will surely work through us, who have become one in the Lord. Let us pray. We thank you that you have called us today too, and allowed us to reflect deeply on the biblical meaning of the word we, that we so easily speak of ordinarily. Peter did not call the people who argued for a circumcision of Gentiles because they could not go beyond wrongful Judaic principles as we, although they were believers. He did not call those who merely opposed circumcision out of rational judgment and understanding of the mind as we either. For the sake of salvation of Gentiles, Peter did not fear criticisms or stoning by his people. He, in pointing to Paul and Barnabas, who, in obedience to the Lord's commands, willingly offered up themselves, said, "We believe." Among the numerous people who had gathered for the Council of Jerusalem on that day, only three people, including Peter, were included in Peter's confession that we believe. But those three, having formed a true we in Jesus Christ, formed a true faith community, and the word of the Lord was fulfilled through them. May the we that we speak of no longer mean negative relationship that mutually overlook breaking of law or circumvention of the law. May no longer be a dishonest relationship in which we accept, tolerate, as if it is only natural, a false life that the other lives. For the sake of we that we speak of, may I be the Peter of this age who is first to wholly offer up myself for the Lord. For the sake of the Lord, may I become Paul, who does not fear the criticisms and stoning by this world. May I become Barnabas, who pursues the way of the Lord my whole life, because of my belief the Lord is greater than all things of this world. And so because of me, may my family, my workplace, my church that I call we, become the true faith communities that renew the history of this age. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.